Misplaced directives. It shall now be shown on the basis of the above discussion that there are some directives of Islam which are solely related to the divine practice discussed in this treatise. They relate to the direct addresses of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had deliberately denied the truth. They do not relate to other non-Muslims. These directives are nothing but various forms of humiliation and punishments meted out to these people for their crime of intentionally denying the truth. They do not relate to non-Muslims who cannot be identified in this capacity. This identification can only be made by God. In the times of His messengers, He communicated this fact through these messengers. However, with the departure of these messengers, no communication can be established with the Almighty, and even though non-Muslims who have deliberately denied the truth may exist today, they cannot be humanly identified. Hence, these directives cannot be related to non-Muslims of today. Here is a summary of these directives. 1. The punishment of apostasy. 2. Waging war against non-Muslims. 3. Zimmi status of non-Muslim minorities. 4. Prohibition of friendship with non-Muslims. 5. The superiority of Muslim blood. 6. Greeting non-Muslims in an inferior way. 7. Non-Muslims will be doomed in the hereafter. 8. Assassination of non-Muslims. 9. Prohibition of asking for forgiveness for non-Muslims. 10. Prohibition of inheritance between Muslims and non-Muslims. 11. Prohibition of testimony of non-Muslims. 12. Prohibition of imitating non-Muslims. 13. Struggle for the supremacy of Islam. I will now elaborate upon each of these. 1. The punishment of apostasy. According to almost all Muslim jurists, a Muslim who leaves the folds of Islam is punishable by death. They base their verdict on the following hadith, as narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, in the following way. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من بدل دينه فاقتلوه. The Prophet said, execute the people who change their faith. Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami al-Sahih, Volume 3, page 1098, hadith number 2854. In their opinion, the ruling pronounced in this hadith is regarded to have a general application for all times upon every Muslim who renounces his faith from the times of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Day of Judgment. It has been shown in the previous sections that once the idolaters of Arabia had deliberately denied the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were sentenced to death because of this denial. The Quran states, فَإِذَنْ سَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَاحْصُرُوهُمْ وَاقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So, when the forbidden months are over, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Seize them, surround them, and everywhere lie in ambush for them. But if they repent from their wrong beliefs and are diligent in their prayer and pay zakah, then spare their lives. God is oft-forgiving, ever merciful. Surah number 9, verse 5. The above-quoted hadith is merely a statement of this law for the Arab idolaters of the Prophet's times. It has no application to any other people or nation. It does not even relate to the people of the book of the Prophet's times. For reasons already explained, the law for these idolaters was either to accept faith or face death. Hence, it follows that if a person among the idolaters, after accepting faith, reverted to his original state of disbelief, he had to face the same penalty. The following hadith is of similar meaning also. عن عبد الله بن عمر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله. Abdullah ibn Umar reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have been directed to fight against these people until they testify to the oneness of God and to the prophethood of Muhammad, are diligent in the prayer and pay zakah. If they accept these terms, their lives will be spared except if they commit some other violation that entails their execution by Islamic law, and in the hereafter their account rests with God. Muslim, Al-Jami As-Sahih, Volume 1, page 53, Hadith number 22. The following text of this hadith clearly shows that by the word An-Nas, the people implied are the mushrikeen or the idolaters of Arabia. An Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أمرت أن أقاتل المشركين حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله فإذا شهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصلوا صلاتنا واستقبلوا قبلتنا وأكلوا ذباحنا فقد حرمت علينا دماؤهم وأموالهم إلا بحقها. Anas ibn Malik reports from the Prophet, I have been directed to fight against these idolaters until they testify to the oneness of God and to the fact that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. If they testify to the oneness of God and to the fact that Muhammad is his servant and prophet, are diligent in our prayer, and face our Qibla while praying, and eat our slaughtered animals, their life and wealth we shall hold sacred except if they commit some violation. An-Nisa'i, As-Sunan al-Kubra, Volume 2, page 279, Hadith number 3428. The onslaught launched by the first caliph, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, against those who desisted to pay zakah in his times should also be understood in this perspective. Since, according to Islam, a person who refuses to pay zakah does not legally remain a Muslim, those who had evaded zakah from among the idolaters had actually reverted to their state of disbelief. About them, the directive was either to accept faith or face death. So the Caliph Abu Bakr anhu was merely administering the punishment of death upon them. Consequently, apart from the idolaters of Arabia of the Prophet's times, it has no bearing upon any other person or nation. 2. Waging war against non-Muslims. Authorities are of the opinion that Muslims must fight the polytheist nations as well as the Jews and Christians of today until they subdue them. It is further held that while the polytheist nations must be put to death if they do not accept faith, the Jews and Christians can be allowed to live on their religions if they submit to Muslim authority by paying jizya. The following verses are generally presented in support of this view. فَإِذَا سَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَاحْصُرُوهُمْ وَاقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. So when the forbidden months are over, slay the idolaters wherever you find them, seize them, surround them, and everywhere lie in ambush for them. But if they repent from their wrong beliefs and are diligent in the prayer and pay zakah, then spare their lives. God is oft forgiving, ever merciful. At another place, the Quran states, قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. Fight those who believe not in God or the last day, nor hold that forbidden which has been forbidden by God and His Messenger, nor acknowledge the religion of truth from among the people of the book until they pay the jizya after being subdued and live a life of submission. Surah number 9, verse 29. It has been shown in the previous sections that these verses and other verses of similar meaning specifically pertain to the idolaters, the Jews, and the Christians of the Prophet Muhammad's times. They delineate a divine practice which relates only to the immediate addressees of a messenger of God. The onslaught they mention, as has been discussed earlier, was specific in nature and cannot be extended to people after them. Consequently, the age-old debate about whether Islam was spread to the sword or not should also be understood in this perspective. The companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their collective capacity, were only completing a divine scheme of God initiated by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In reality, they were not spreading Islam. They were punishing people who had deliberately denied the truth. Consequently, after them, as has been stated earlier, Muslims have no right to subdue nations and countries in the name of Islam or impose jizya upon them.